Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Most low-income renters in the U.S. spend more than half of their monthly income on housing. Many spend more than 70%, leaving little money left over for anything else, such as an unexpected expense. And when that happens, hundreds of thousands of tenants can't pay their rent and find themselves in court facing eviction. NPR's Pam Fessler has spent several weeks in the landlord and tenant branch of Washington, D.C.'s Superior Court. She's been following the stories of some of the people there and reporting those stories back to NPR, and she joins us now. Pam, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
So first of all, set this up for us. What actually happens in these courts?
Well, the courts are different all around the country, but generally this is where landlords take their tenants if they haven't paid their rent or they violated their leases. And what's striking in a lot of these courts, and especially I saw it in Washington, is just how many cases there are. There are so many tenants there every morning, hundreds that are lined up for their cases. They sometimes have to wait for hours. In D.C., there were 32,000 rent cases a year in this one court. So the judges, what they do, they're sort of overwhelmed. So they encourage the landlords and the tenants to try to work out an agreement in the hall to lighten the court's load. The problem is that very few of these tenants have attorneys, and most of the landlords do. Most of the tenants, they're low income, often with a high school degree or less. And tenant advocates say they don't really understand the court system. And so often they'll sign agreements with the landlords that aren't to their advantage, or they just agree to move out, or they end up being evicted, that often they do have some kind of defense, but they don't know how to use it.
Yeah. So, Pam, 32,000 is a lot. Why do so many cases end up in court in the first place?
Well, I'd say the biggest reason that I heard is that many low-income tenants, just they can barely afford their rent. And pretty typical was this one woman I met in court. Her name is Megan Limes, and she's 28. She's the mother of two. She lost a full-time job that she had last year. She got a part-time job, but it's only at $10.50 an hour. And when I met her, she owed $3,300 in back rent, and she told the judge she just didn't have the money. So he ordered her eviction. And then I spoke with her a few weeks later when she was still waiting for her eviction to be scheduled. And you can really hear the frustration in her voice.
I mean, it's hard out here for people that don't make enough money. Like, I'm trying the best I can with what I have. I mean, what else can I do, right?
So she was actually looking for a cheaper place in the city, but she couldn't find one. They're just not available. I'd say the other reason a lot of people end up in court is that a lot of tenants say they stop paying the rent because the conditions are so bad. I visited one apartment. It was shown to me by a woman named Patsy Yates, whose daughter lived there with her two young children. The appliances were in bad shape. There were cold breezes coming in through the windows. And Yates said they were trying to get the landlord to fix things up, but hadn't had much luck. So there's a lot of frustration in court that you hear over these living conditions and the expenses that people have to pay.
But what about the frustration of landlords? I mean, they don't want to have to end up in court either.
That's right. I mean, I think in some ways the landlords are also, you know, being hurt by this lack of affordable housing. They make the argument that they are in business. They're trying to operate and maintain these apartments, and they need the rent to do that.
Yeah. So, Pam, help us take a step back here. Why aren't there actually enough homes or apartments for people at these lower income levels?
Well, I think there was a pretty interesting study that Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies did recently, and it showed that over the past decade, the number of low-income rental units in the United States grew 10%, but the number of low-income renters grew 40%. So you can see that there really isn't enough supply to meet this demand.
Yeah. So do housing advocates see a solution or solutions to this problem?
Well, there were several that people talked about, and they all cost money. So,
yeah, of course.
We'll see what happens. I think a lot of people agree that we need to have more housing assistance for people, more public housing. Right now, only about one in four people who qualify for this aid actually gets it. because there just isn't enough money around. Another solution people have talked about is that there's a need for more free legal assistance for tenants, that it would put them on a little bit more of an even playing field when they go to court with their landlords. And then landlords and developers say what they need are more tax incentives from the government to build low-income housing, that right now it's more financially feasible to build high-rent units. But if they got some more incentives or tax credits, that they would build more affordable housing, and this would reduce some of the squeeze.
Well, that's NPR national correspondent Pam Fessler. Pam, thank you so very much.
Thank you.